Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeVere here. We are back. It is February. It feels like no time and all the time has passed since our last conversation. It's so weird doing these once a month now, but with the world being on fire, it's taking everything in us to just get through these months. I was talking to somebody yesterday. One of my neighbors, been friends with her for most of the time I've been in Chicago. And I was saying, wow, it hasn't even been 100 days. It's been, what, like 35? And it feels like 17 years have passed in the last 35 days. So, yeah, we're back for another conversation, Flame On episode. I am Pat DeBear, facilitating this conversation for you. I'm joined on the East Coast. All of a sudden, I just slid into like light FM radio voice. East Coast, we've got covered by Eric. What's going on?
Hello. So nice to be here on this lovely Thursday evening, right? It's Thursday, right?
I think so. It feels like it's like a Monday forever.
Listen, let's not say what date it is, because then people will know how fast we turn some of these episodes around. And then when you started talking, I was like, I just wanted to go, Delilah.
This is our long distance dedication.
Oh, Casey Kasem has risen from the grave. I was getting my hair colored a couple of weeks ago on a Friday night, and they had the radio on. And I thought that all of the Delilah episodes were just syndicated reruns. They're not. That bitch is still out there on the radio playing the same like 14 songs, dedicating them to different people every single night. It's ridiculous.
Good for her.
Right? I mean, honestly, bitch has got a good gig. I am mad about it. Our West Coast correspondent, we've got Brian joining us today.
Delilah has the kind of job security that I long for again.
What? Bitch, we all do. I know I'm not in the same position, but I'm in sales. And quite honestly, it is just crazy out there, no matter what you're doing. So, yeah. Delilah, I wonder, does John Tesh still do his radio show at night?
I think he does a podcast. I'm a big fan of John Tesh from back in the day when he was on ET and then as a composer. But yeah, I think he has like still a podcast somewhere. I looked it up a while back.
Because you know that his radio show was based out of where I'm from, right?
Like, I did not know that.
I'm pretty sure he broadcast out of a radio station in Garden City. Which is where Garden City is where I went to school for first through eighth grade. But yeah, John Tesh's radio show was based off, was recorded at a radio station on Long Island and then broadcast to the world, or so at least the US, I guess.
He still has a show. It's a little unclear where they air it, but it's with his wife, Connie Selica, if you remember that name. And it's called Intelligence for Your Life. Now, I will say
that was the radio. That was a radio show too.
Okay, so he is yes. He's Christian, and I think he's a little on the conservative side. I think he's full on MAGA crazy. At least, I hope not. But like, yeah, that probably it's syndicated, so it could be on really anything. Oh, actually, you know what? It's still on WKJY FM, Long Island.
KJOY.
Yep.
Yes, KJOY.
Is that a Christian station or is that a regular
light? No. It was like the light rock station. 98.3 WKJY. Oh, I thought it might say. Sometimes no, it'll like say the number and the call letters.
It does not say. He does also do a podcast with Jared. I don't know who that is. It looks like he's got he's still doing stuff. At least this website, God only knows if it's out of date. Oh, there's a video. Ooh, I don't know how old that video is, but he's looking a little rough. Not like, you know, like Crypt Keeper rough, but he's seen some, he's getting older, like we all are. We're all older now. It's okay.
I will say this. I am proud of myself. It's the alcohol. For those of you not on this podcast 5 minutes before we started, I just came from a work outing because of my former manager is quit and his last day is tomorrow. So I might have had two drinks and two shots before coming on here. But KJOY is 98.3 and was a Long Island radio station. It was like the light FM adult contemporary radio station on Long Island. I'm proud of myself for that. And when you said intelligence for your life, I was like, oh my God, I so remember hearing that every single time. Because even when I was in massage therapy school, we would have like, you know, we would have the late FM radio going. And depending on when I was at, like there were some points where I would do night classes or night hours in the clinic because we had to do clinic hours. And I would remember hearing intelligence for your life because he would always give tidbits and factoids in between like the different topics and then songs that he would play. How did this turn into a whole John Tesh conversation?
If you had asked me the topics that could have come up for the little whatever we're doing, whatever we call this, the cold open, John Tesh would have been at the bottom of my list. I would have not even remembered about John Tesh until somehow we stumbled into him. How did we stumble into him? How do we do this?
Delilah.
Yes. Okay.
Delilah into John Tesh into the utter destruction of our government and we're in the midst of a hostile government takeover.
Well,
Have you heard that song?
Oh my God! It's a hostile government takeover. Yes, love it. All of it. Like, this is the thing. This is the thing. We have to cling to all the good art that comes out of the next 4 years because, like, very little else will be good except for what we make ourselves, what we build, what we do with our communities. It's a shit show. I did want to make sure we talked about this because, of course, we are missing one of our dear cast members, BJ, who, like myself, is kind of in his own little mental bunker. However he's getting through the day, I don't know, probably drinking too, whatever. Who isn't? I'm drinking right now. I got a Drew Brew amber ale, which is delightful.
Alcoholism doesn't count during these 4 years.
Nope. Just like COVID, our livers are immune. Exactly. We'll be fine. But no, it's been a rough since the last we talked. I don't even remember. It was like 4 weeks ago. Is it more than that?
Yeah, about 4 weeks.
Like, I don't think any of the major government stuff maybe it had like just started, but if you know a federal employee, we definitely talked about it. We talked about your mom and me we talked a little bit, but like, girl, it's gotten so much worse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we recorded our last episode right after the inauguration. And I think, cause I don't think we talked about it while recording. I think we may have talked about it off camera, off recording, about the ridiculous fork.
Do we talk about the fork? I think we talked about the fork. The email that went out.
Yes, the deferred resignation emails and all of that.
We don't talk about that. All we say it's the fork. The fork came out. People quit. So up to 75,000 federal employees quit. Or did the deferred resignation, the fork. They took the fork. But since the fork, we've had the five bullets of your accomplishments email. Oh, that just happened this past weekend. God. And I was sitting there having a lovely Saturday until that, like, shitstorm darken my door, and then
you actually do the bullets, or did your leader tell you you should not reply to this?
Well, as you know, and since this is going out over the internets, you know, our true leader is Donald Trump, according to the loyalty oath that I thankfully have not had to sign, but as evidently being used. But no, I did not. I had actually, the way I found out about the five bullets is I got a text from my leadership, who basically said, please ignore this for now. And then by Monday, they were like, yeah, no, you don't have to do that, because it's stupid. I mean, on its face, it's stupid, but more liberally, broader issue, anyone who works in anything mildly sensitive is not supposed to put an email out that is unencrypted and not, you know, whatever. You're not supposed to tell everybody, like, hey, China, look what we're doing. And it's just, it was the most stupid,
telling China what we're doing.
Nobody was ever going to read these things. It was just going to be a very black and white, did you do it, did you not? Well, and if you did not, then you were just going to immediately get axed. Or that's what they were planning.
They were planning to feed it to an AI. And I've been taking a little crash course in AI these days because of my future unemployment. So, they were going to feed it to an LLM and somehow use that for future, like, training to determine, you know, who had value, who didn't. But ultimately, none of this is matters. It's all noise. It's all stupidity, because now they're doing the reduction in force analysis, and every agency gets to kind of do their own version of this, though I'm sure DOGE will try to inject themselves where appropriate or not appropriate. But anyway, I want to say BJ and I are clinging to the fact that we both will get a not unsubstantial amount of money if we get fired, if we do the reduction of force, if they basically tell us that our job no longer exists. It's not nothing. It's like, oh, ho, okay, there's some money there. But that's not like to say it's going to help me at 48 find another job. You know, like that's always been my thing. It's like, okay, yeah, you can pay me off, but that doesn't mean I'm just going to go find any other job anywhere. I probably will. I mean, I think I will. It's just, I hate thinking like that. I really like what I do. You know, BJ really enjoys his career. It's like, we have great, great careers that are useful to the American public, and yet they're not going to be for much longer. So, it's a good time.
Oh, we just, was it today that they just reduced NOAA by like 1,300 employees?
You know what? Haven't even been like able to keep up. So probably.
Yeah. Oh no. I just happened to open Blue Sky, and that was Wired. Wired magazine. Wired's Blue Sky account is incredible in getting pertinent information onto the social media platform. So I think I saw something there, or it was like a, I will never say reskeet outside of this. I fucking hate that verb.
I've never even seen that.
Some faggot out there was like, we're going to say skeet instead of, cause it's sky instead of Twitter. So instead of tweet, it's a skeet. And I'm like, fuck that shit. It just sounds ridiculous. I'm never using that verbiage. But there was some information about that. But NOAA, like, if you decimate NOAA, that is the only place where weather information goes out. Yep. Fucking old, good old brain worms is over there gutting fucking the programs that were looking to make the COVID vaccine into, like, I think a tablet or like a pill form. And they've now canceled the summit or the conference,
the flu vaccine,
whatever. Summit. Which flu strains to utilize for next year's flu shots. And it's like, they just want us dead. Like, at this point, it's not even funny.
It's
they
surreal.
Just want us dead.
It's surreal because, yeah, all these critical services that, yeah, they're not sexy. They're not exciting. Like, if BJ and I told you about what we do, you'd be like, well, okay, that sounds kind of boring, actually. But guess what? It absolutely affects you, whether it's, you know, pest control, you know, keeping those nuisance critters out of your wherever, or it's keeping the military ready for safe navigation and being able to get to where they got to go. I mean, it's all of these jobs are important. Now, is there possibly some that could be cut that is probably not going to hurt? Yes. And I think that's the right way to do it. I guess Clinton in the 90s.
Yeah, Clinton did a big government reduction.
Yeah. And that they said two things. One, it was thoughtful. They actually bothered to like take the time to do it right. However, what came out of that, all those services and things that the government employees, civil servants used to do, they got contracted out. And the thing about that is, yeah, contracts are a little more flexible. You don't have all these, you know, potential like career, this or that, but they're way more expensive. I know because I work, I'm a part of the contracting acquisition workforce, and that is so expensive. Contractors are way more expensive than we are. And so, yeah, the government it might shrink and then it'll blow up and make the budgets will go, I'll have to go back up. So, it's ridiculous. I'm more upset. I mean, today has not been amazing, but it's been whatever. More like the level of like what's tragic, what's horrible is kind of, you know, hard to track these days. But they're announcing the transgender ban. I mean, like the enforcement, like literally any warfighter who is trans, basically who's dysphoric or has a history of being on hormones or this or whatever, pretty much whatever they want, they're separating from service. They're going to start figuring out who they are, which is probably pretty well documented if they're on any kind of medication or whatever. And then they're going to be separated from service. I mean, these people who have signed up to give their lives potentially for our country are going to be told to pound sand because they're trans. It's so disgusting. It's so mean-spirited. Like everything they're doing is just so horrible. It gloomy. Not good. The worst timeline. That's all we say at work. We're just like, it's the worst timeline. I don't think it could be too much worse, but also knock on wood, because I don't want to tempt the fate.
You know what is great? You know what is great, even though, you know, with all of this that's going on, you know what is great? Those cheap eggs and that cheap gas that I put in my car today.
So much winning.
Oh, wait. Never mind. We're not doing anything to save off bird flu, which is now mutating potentially into affecting other animals and people. And eggs are what, $8 a fucking dozen now? You know, that, yeah.
And there's been two measles deaths in Texas, so.
Oh, fucking Texas.
So I was shocked by the egg thing. I really don't ever buy eggs, but Pat, I know you probably buy a decent amount.
So I don't eat a ton of eggs that I cook. I will, but when I make eggs, like if I make scrambled eggs, I usually use like three eggs at a time. So I can go through eggs quickly. My roommate eats a lot of eggs because works from home, makes him, you know, will make himself breakfast and we'll make eggs. And Sam's Club, I know Walmart is not where we need to be spending our money, but there for reasons, I still have my Sam's Club membership. They have a 24 pack of eggs, like farm fresh, cage free eggs, and it's like $8 for 24 eggs. But they also ration them. It's like two orders per membership. So they just like refresh that where you can order, like you can add them again. So I've kind of let him go with those. But as a baker, as someone who gets enjoyment and with everything going on, needs to find some form of joy, I haven't been baking because I don't like, And I say y'all to you guys like that because we're here chatting, not like, you know, other people are listening to this episode. So it's like everybody who's listening is just kind of leaning in and hearing this conversation. But I said, you know what, 2025, with everything that's going to be going on, and this was like New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, I was like, I'm going to push myself to do something, bake something new every month, like give myself a task and a goal. So I decided I'm going to try a croquembouche because I wanted when I first started thinking of like kind of doing some baking stuff. And this was back in like 2018 ish, kind of when I was really getting into Great British Baking Show and all of that. It was like two things that I think are kind of like the epitome of fancy baking is a mirror glaze and a croquembouche. Like, those are two things that, and croquembouche is definitely, you know, French pâtissière. It's like, it's a top-notch thing. It's a high-level thing. And I finally made a mirror glaze that worked very well back in 2 years ago, right before I started the job that I'm at now. Made that, and I was like, that's a goal. Yes. I made cream puffs one time, and they were okay, but never really went all out for it. I went to make cream puffs, and can I tell y'all, I went through a dozen fucking eggs between the cream puffs themselves and the pastry cream. And then most of my cream puffs did not rise properly. Dude, can I tell you, it was like throwing away gold. And I didn't throw them away. Like, I still try to fill them as much as possible. And, you know, my roommate ate some and all that. Because my thing was, I'm going to make cream puffs, but I'm also going to do the crackling, because I had never done crackling before. And then I did the caramel. And I took a picture of, like, the best ones. The ones that came out really good, they were also super huge. But anywho, all of that to say, yeah, it's tough because egg prices are expensive. And for me to not be able to, like, just bake just because I need to get some sort of serotonin rush was really difficult in the last few weeks. And I know my piece of it, I'm not a government employee, but I am, like y'all, I'm struggling right now mentally, just having that time. And I push myself to bake because I needed an outlet to find some joy in something that I like to do. So with egg prices not being any better, it is tough. And it is trying to find that balance of, like, hey, let me make something that's going to bring me joy, but also not waste an entire dozen eggs and not have something to show for it at the end. But I will say, my February thing that I made was turrón, which is a hard nougat candy with like nuts in it usually. Nice. I just did almonds, but it is very Italian. It's very Spanish. Nice. But I made turrón, and I got excited about that. So
you should try something making eggless. Go eggless. Go.
Yeah, I was going to say, try vegan baking recipes.
You absolutely should.
And no. Yes. I like things that rise.
Listen, I have baked with just egg, and I mean, just egg is not cheap, and so I don't know if it's I don't know if the fake egg is more or less expensive than real eggs, but it is actually very effective for a lot of what you need. Now, you can't do egg whites that way, but you should try aquafaba, because aquafaba actually is really effective for egg whites. So I mean, there's
chickpea juice.
Just don't rule it out, man. You never know. You like it. It's yeah. Just saying. If you want,
you said you were going to bake new things. These are new
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
I was saying as I just made cookies last night, because I was like, I'm going to make cookies. Well, I wanted to. So I have cookies, and I actually have this bag of praline almonds. So I needed one egg and one egg white for my cookie dough. And then I used the other egg white for my praline almonds. And then I made the turrón with one egg white last night. So like I'm trying to ration it out. But I also, like, when I make my buttercream, the buttercream that I make is a pseudo Swiss meringue, but I use liquid egg whites.
Oh.
So it is a little bit more expensive, but they have a good shelf life, and I'm able to utilize some of that. When I make my white velvet cake, I don't think either of you have had the white velvet cake that I make, but it's egg whites. So I use the liquid egg whites. So there are some ways to be able to kind of maneuver around that. The other thing that I messed up, or that did not come out right, that used a bunch of eggs, I try to make a Swiss roll twice.
Ah.
And that requires a couple of eggs in each try. And I was like, son of a bitch, I've wasted these eggs. Because
what happened? Did you not make it thin enough so you can roll it?
Not even that. I think it was the towel I used. Mm. Because I made the cake. It came out fine. It was nice, thin. It was spongy. It was great. I rolled it up. I put it to cool. And when I unrolled it, it just broke apart into sections. Mm. So I'm not 100% sure. I have made a Swiss roll before, and it came out fine. a little cracking, but it stayed in essentially one piece. It just had some, had like one or two cracks. This literally was strips. I think the second time I might have overcooked it a little bit, or like overbaked just a little bit. So what I ended up doing was putting all of the cake pieces into a Ziploc bag, wrapping it up in plastic wrap and putting it in the freezer, because I'm going to make buttercream and then make take that cake and make it into cake pops. Oh, so I'll be able to use it for something. But it was one of those points where I was just like, I'm just not having a good luck with this. And the world is on fire. And why am I wasting eggs right now? So it's trying to find those things that are bringing joy. And I'm going to try to work on my cake decorating skills. So we'll see what happens. But I need to post those pictures. I want to keep myself accountable to like one new thing each month. So the pot au choux, or the cream puffs, the pot au choux with a craquelon was, and caramel. I did the caramel top. That was January's thing. The turon was February. We'll see what happens with March. I'm going to the Dominican Republic. We'll see if maybe I do something a little festive either before or after I go. Or if I even come back to this country. Who knows? Maybe I'll just
come back from Iceland after I
girl. I mean, I don't know if I could deal with like full days of sun and night depending on the time of year, but I could, like, it, from the pictures I've seen, it's gorgeous.
It's so nice.
I wouldn't blame you. I would not blame you. Yeah, I'm going with my family to the Dominican, and I'm like, we'll see if I don't end up blowing up a family member at some point during those 5 or 6 days we're together. We'll see. But anywho, we've been chatting. We've been catching up. We've been having a good old kiki here. But it's time to talk some topics. And I think one of the things that we need to talk about, especially Luke made sure to message me after the last episode and point out Brian's rant about Michelle Visage.
Oh boy.
And then Arietti almost going home immediately afterwards. He was like, did Brian jinx her? And I was like, I think so. But Drag Race, we are still plugging along, and we're like 14 episodes in and still have like 25 contestants on this season. I don't know what is going on, but it feels like it's been forever. Can I share what may be a hot take about this season? It might be. I don't know if it is or not. I've missed the days of yore. The season 4, the season 5, the season 6. When girls were cunty and fierce, but were also bitchy to each other. And like, they were drag queens. There came a point where, especially when social media was really involved, where the queens very much had to protect their image because people are fucking stupid and send death threats, and it's this whole thing. And I don't ever want that. I never want that. I don't care how much I dislike a contestant. I hate Boston Rob. If I didn't talk about this last month on the Traders, I'm going to reiterate, I hate Boston Rob. As a person, like as a human being, like whatever, I don't care about him. I don't know him as a person. As a character on television, I can't stand that man. But you know what I will not do? Go on to Beyonce's internet and send that man death threats. Because why would I do that? I don't know him. He's just playing up his role on television. Anywho, I am finding it really hard to like these girls on this season. Talented? Sure. Likeable? No. Even Suzanne Tooth has really kind of been portrayed in a very not flattering light. Anya Nerve, not really being portrayed in a fantastic light. The Chismosas girls, who were just being cunts for no reason, not really likable. Is it just me? Or like, are you guys finding these queens to be not talented? Because they are... most of them are exuding talent or looks, maybe not both, but they are not exactly likable figures in this edit.
I think there's a lot of villain edits going, which is odd, because like I was
all villains.
I was like, yeah, there you go. I was like, Susie for a while didn't seem so delusional. And then lately they're really amping that up, or she's amping that up, or whatever's happening. Corey's getting on my nerves and I feel like she's a little shady a lot. Then some of these other queens she's like get in the mix. Yeah. But I mean, she's Jane Plain's sister. I mean, you know, go figure. But like, no, I just, I want to like, so Acacia was one of my, I mentioned, you know, very, don't love the mullet, but everything else, you know, and you know what, honestly.
You want to eat her ass, I got it. Yeah.
Something, but like, like, and I'm not the only one, so don't even try that. No, like she got kind of a nice, but like, yeah, a sincere sending off. Like she was a little petulant, but then they kind of explained some of those reasons with her cystic fibrosis stuff, which I was like, oh my God, that used to be a death sentence when you were a child. So that's amazing that she's, you know, what she's doing, what she's doing. But like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I feel like they're not always very likable in many ways. And then it just, the lens passes around to who's the least likable, but I don't know. I'm still rooting for like, well, Acacia, not so much anymore, but like Susie is still up there. I really love the Sparkle. It, pretty much all the Florida, the two Florida queens are like the two that I know that I'm rooting for at this point. I think both of them are talented and likable enough at times. So no, I don't know. I mean, Sparkles is pretty likable. When has Sparkles been shady or mean or whatever? Has she? I guess she got into it with Butthole. No, who did she get into it with? Didn't she get into it with somebody?
I mean,
about
they all hate Susie. Like,
well,
I mean,
right. No, I get that. Well, they all hated Hormona too. I mean, am I doing? There's just a lot of drama, but it's like it's like passive aggressive until it's active aggressive, I guess. But it's weird. I don't know. It doesn't bother me that much. Like, I kind of feel like it's sort of not that much worse this season, but yeah, I do think there are more unlikable moments. That's what it is. They're showing more unlikable moments than maybe likable. So the balance is off.
Yeah. I feel like the queens go on with such walls up now because they're trying to protect whatever themselves from whatever the edit is going to do to them, because they know what the backlash on social media can be like, that production doesn't really know what to do with what the queens are giving them.
Okay, enough razzmatazz. But it's not every day a new scratch card drops. With the new set for 5 years scratch card from the National Lottery, you could win $5,000 a month, every month, for 5 years. Pick up yours in-store today and get scratching. Search Dream Big Play Small. Rules, procedures, and game-specific rules apply. Players must be 18 or over.
And
I don't think they went up with their guards up this time around, though. They were just like, we going to be cunty, which can be fierce. Like, it can be fine. We saw it in the early seasons. They went in there just being themselves. But I think it almost kind of swung the other way. Like, it overcorrected. We went from such guard up to being like, to try to be nicey-nicey, to everybody just being like, we're just going to be cunts. We don't care. And then for stupid things.
But
I'm on Jules' side about
is,
like,
I think more of that is the edit, though. I don't, like, I mean, I think, I mean, yes, they're saying nasty stuff to each other, but I think we're not seeing full context of what's going on, obviously.
Are you trying to say that you want to blame it on the edit? 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 You're the
you
one
don't
who
blame
said
it. On the edit.
you want to blame it on the edit.
But I feel like you can kind of get a better idea of them. You almost have to treat what their current social media is doing and how they're acting now in conjunction with what you're seeing on the screen to actually get a feel for who they are as a person.
For sure. For sure. This is all to say that I don't like the way that they are portraying themselves or being portrayed on the show. I don't know these girls. I haven't worked with these girls. Like, it was a whole different thing when I was at Parliament House and we were getting these girls through week after week. And I, you know, I got to work with them, got to see them and experience them in person a little bit more. And I could build a better understanding. I mean, unless you're Trinity the Talk, in which case, you know, fuck that hoe. But, it's just, for a while, I was really thinking that they were giving Susie the Jinx season 5 edit.
Yeah.
A quirky, weird one who's everybody underestimates, and she just kind of surprises them all and wins the season. And then she just went down a fucking rabbit hole with Snatch Game and the musical, and just, I get being confident, but she's doing herself no favors, and neither is the edit.
No.
Anya, super talented, but that shit with the trim and then not speaking up about spray painting on top of Lexi's tarp, which wasn't a tarp, but her actual dress, and then not saying anything and then going off on Lexi about, I didn't think it was the right time. Like, they are not painting these girls into a good light.
Which is crazy that... Did you hear that fight almost got physical and they had to actually shut down production for a couple hours?
Wow.
Well, I did not hear that, but Willem, here's our race chaser reference for this episode. Willem highly implied that production had to tell Lexi what happened, and that because nobody fessed up to it on the cast. And that's what made it such a much more intense altercation than what we saw. And we saw what we saw was pretty intense. And then the next day it's like, you know, they're best friends again, but they also understand they're on a competition show. They're on a television show and you have to get past these things. But hey, I don't know. Like, there has been some great talent. Fucking Jules's Snatch Game as Miss Big Feet, I thought was great. I was surprised by that. The fact that these girls are still coming in on season 17 and not preparing the slightest for Snatch Game, aside from, I have one joke. Why did Ruse say, is the bus still running to me first? I don't know what to do no more. And you will never gaslight me into thinking that Lexi's Gilbert Gottfried and her just giving up was so bad it came back around to funny and earned a top place.
I don't think she was a top. I honestly think there were four bottoms in that episode.
Lies and deceit, because if there were, one of the other girls would have been in there.
That reaction really confused me. I mean, I didn't hate the impression, but like the fact that she just flamed out so spectacularly, like they just want to keep her around, which is great, except that also, you know, that's just another example. I tell you all the time, this is the problem I have with the show. I really hate how manipulative it is. And I get it when it's needed to highlight what is actually happening. And so you never quite know what that is. But also, like, it just feels this season, like you said, they're giving more people, they're showing the negative side of more of the girls. They're doing this other weird shit. I don't like it. I don't like that. I like the runways. I like the end result of the competition. I think most of the other parts of the show I'm watching, but I'm honestly like tuning it out to some extent because I just feel like it's manipulative. But yeah, I don't know. We're still watching it.
And the next episode's another design challenge, which,
oh boy,
that's the third one of the season. I mean, we're back to season two, apparently.
They said, okay, right.
Season three, rather.
So season three
was the one that had 57 design challenges.
Yes. Where Yara finally was just so fucking defeated by the time she had a lip sync. She just laid there and cried. Yes. They really just said, Lana and Corey, y'all are going to have to fight it out for the bottom on this one. We don't know who we're sending home yet, but one of y'all bitches is going home this time. Like, it literally is, you know that Lana and Corey will be in the bottom for the next design challenge. They have either been almost in the bottom or in the bottom for design challenges.
Mm-hmm.
It, And the fact that Lana stayed over Crystal.
I honestly think that the reason Crystal was in the bottom two was because they thought that Crystal would send her home.
I think she should have.
But yeah, because who is the other person? Arietti was the other person. And they're like, well,
she should have been on the bottom.
Yeah. And they're like, well, we kind of want Lana to go home this episode. So who's the stronger lip syncer out of Crystal and Arietti? Crystal. And then
I think it was just that Neanderthal brow trying to be seductive that they were just like, you know what? Maybe not. Because I honestly thought Crystal won that lip sync. It was shocked. Shocked, I tell you. I don't know. I'm still mad that Arietti didn't play Cupid as a gay man with an ABDL fetish and go from being like cutesy baby to just being like an old man that's just like, I just dress up as a baby Roo. Like, I think that would have been.
That one was so disappointing because I'm like, girl, what are you doing? What even are you doing? And then it wasn't Willem that said,
because
that was like a strategy. Like, it was just bizarre. I don't
be a baby then. Why even call it baby Cupid? Because.
Right.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything that was Cupid.
Yeah. That was just so fucking bizarre. I will never to this day understand how that wasn't a bottom two placement, but Gilbert Gottfried was a top placement. And to your point, Eric, they did four tops and two bottoms for, I think, the first time ever for the Rusical episode.
Yeah.
So there is a chance that it was two tops and four bottoms for Snatch Game, but they would not have given that much praise to a bottom placement. When they did the four tops and the two bottoms, they gave a little bit of, they were like, Rue was like, I love this color hair on you, Corey. Everybody else eviscerate her. And like, it was like, here's one little nugget of nice. And then we're just going to shit on you for the rest of it. It's crazy to me. And we're only like halfway through the season.
Oh,
and that's God. That's wild part about it all.
Jesus. Yeah. No, it's weird. But I don't know. It's okay. So let's round this off. So if I pick my top two, it's Susie and Sparkles. What's your first name? Jenny Sparkles? What is it? Something Sparkles?
Jewels.
Jewels Sparkles. Oh my God.
Remember, two jewels and they both sparkles.
Oh my God. It's so much.
There's too many S's.
Pat, who are your favorite two or whatever?
Oof. Okay, we're not going to say favorites because I don't know if I have any favorites. My favorite is Corey Regina Scott King.
Oh, Jesus, no. Do you see the butthole? Like, I mean, that pairing was, I didn't see that coming. I was shocked.
That's crazy.
As Paula Abdul said, opposites attract.
No, that's I literally didn't see any signs of it up until that episode. So, I mean, maybe that was when they hooked up. I mean, I don't know. I was just...
They said it on the first episode when we were getting out of drag.
Did they really? Oh, shit, I forgot. Well, yes. What did I say earlier? That's how little sometimes I pay attention to the workroom stuff, but okay.
Well, I mean, you also didn't know why they hated Hormone Elisa, so...
No, I remember. I figured it out, but yeah. No, okay. Well, anyway, I was surprised. That was good. I mean, hey, they wanted a pairing. You know, they got a pairing.
Also, have you seen Corey doing cameos as Michael Jackson?
Oh, Jesus.
It's scary. It is.
It's ridiculous, but hysterical all at the same time. You need to look up these videos. Oh. But no, I enjoy Corey as a personality. I think is the right balance of funny and shady. She doesn't feel out, except to Hormona. She doesn't feel outright mean. But shady. And I will die on the hill that you don't need to go into absolute debt and mortgage your house to afford a package for Drag Race. She's had some questionable outfits. Luke is going to have something to say about that because he doesn't like her busted drag. I think most of, like, a good chunk of it's been okay. Maybe not to the standard, the elevation standards, but whatever. But my top two, who I think will be in the finale and have a shot for winning, Suzanne Tooth, as Bob likes to call her, and Sam Star. I think the She-Devil blood will help her rise to the top. Because it was either her or Crystal, and now that Crystal's gone, And now she has a win. I think Sam is guaranteed top two placement. Eric, what about you?
It's tough because all the two win girls, I think, can get there. So the two you mentioned and then Anya.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Sam has a stronger runway package than either Anya or Susie do. Overall, I think both of them have had good pieces, for sure. For instance, I thought Susie's Iron Maiden look on the Nails runway was freaking amazing.
I can't believe Willem hated that look. And I was started listening to the new episode of this week's episode of Race Chaser, and Naomi said the same shit, and I was like, oh, okay. And sibling watchery, Bob and Monet both loved Susie's Iron Maiden look, and I was like, okay, I feel better now.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
And I really liked Anya's parasol look from this week, the one that was like almost the beekeeper material.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, I think all three of those are in the mix, and I really like Lexi as well.
Lexi started off really strong. I thought that she was kind of like the not dark horse, but a good shot at winning. Mm-hmm. She's kind of coming in middle of the pack now from an edit standpoint. She's not as featured and is a little, you know, but yeah, no, those are all they're all very talented. They're just not always coming across likable on the show. So,
and it's tough because Jules is very talented and it gives good talking head and is very entertaining overall. It's just she hasn't really been recognized. She hasn't gotten a win, and so it's tough this far into the competition if you don't have any wins under your belt to kind of rise to a win in the end.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, but she's been close in some of the design challenges, so this could be her time to take home a win in a design challenge. And you know that sometimes they will parse out a win based off of story versus actual whether it's deserved. And in this case, where if they play it up as, oh, Jules, you haven't won yet, but you've been so close in the design challenges, that's almost a shoe-in for her to win the challenge. So we'll see how they play that.
And whenever it gets to the makeover episode, anybody can win and anybody can go home because the judges have no parameters for what the actual winner and loser of that is.
You unless look it's too just much alike. You don't look so enough like
terrible. I mean, there have obviously been terrible ones, but yeah.
Your makeup is terrible, but we love you anyway. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been great talking Drag Race, though. Dear listeners, we appreciate you tuning in and enjoying our podcast here. Check out our website, flameonshow.com. You can find all of our social media links. I need to update those, I think. Get some blue sky linkage in there as well. But check us out online. Check out our merch shop there as well. And let us know what you think of the podcast. All right. Severance is a show that I still haven't watched. You talked about it before. It sounds really fucking good. And I've heard a lot of great things. But the new season has taken, it's taken over my social media. I know there's been a lot of talk about that. So, Brian, what is going on in this new season? Share with us. Tell us.
So I don't want to spoil a lot because Severance is definitely the kind of show where you'd rather experience it. There's lots of twists and turns. However, I will say the new season, which is about a workplace where you go down an elevator and half of your brain sort of shunts over to the other half and you become like a different person, maybe even a different like soul, who knows? But you literally forget when you go back up the elevator all of the things you did at work, giving you a complete experience that you still have income, you have a time in your day where you are no longer your own person, but you have this magic little part of you that goes off and does work and gets paid, but then the rest of you can enjoy it. So it's very interesting. And the second season is exploring all of the implications of that, which a lot of people who had written fanfic about Severance have already mined pretty heavily. But the show now is mining like, well, what happens if you're innie, which is the person inside the workplace, your outie being
belly button.
Yeah, it is kind of belly button. In fact, it's delightfully so. But if your innie has an office crush, but you know, you're married on the outside world, what does that mean? How does that work? You know, what are the implications for that? There's a religious component that just came up, which was amazing. Oh my God, Pat, you definitely would appreciate this. You watched Fringe at some point, right? I think you did.
No, I have never seen Fringe. I know of it.
I didn't make you watch it. Okay. Well, so Fringe was like the AI, God almighty, X-Files sort of like, but about parallel worlds. One of the characters from from Fringe, John Majors, I believe, or John Noble. He played Denethor in Lord of the Rings. He shows up and it is delightful. He is Fields. He plays Christopher Walken's husband in the outside world. He shows up and is a delightful scene with it's him. It's Bert, who is Christopher Walken's character, and Irving, played by John Turturro. They have a dinner scene that is so good. It is exploring very complicated sci-fi, but borderline polyamory, whatever. Like it's just fascinating. So I highly recommend it. It's taking off. There's race. They're talking about how it feels to be a black person in the workplace and have like, you know, the company pander to you. There's elements of, like I said, the romance. They're exploring some trippy sequences where, you know, maybe what happens if you're innie and your outie start to have like crossover and all these fun topics that this rich world by Dan Erickson created the show, it allows for you to explore. They're feeding all kinds of weird mythology little nuggets, but not a lot, just a little bit, that keeps you obviously guessing and speculating. So if you like I will say there's still somewhat of a comedic element or still like a satirical element that I really appreciate, but it is otherwise like a kind of sci-fi speculative fiction drama. But again, set in a workplace with very antiquated looking computers and cubicles and all that good shit. I just don't think you're going to get a better distillation of that. So I really hope if you have Apple, watch it now. If you don't have Apple, you could probably do a trial and like I think the second season's almost over. I think they may have a couple more episodes, but like mainline that shit, get on board. They're working on season 3, so there's going to be more. Severance is a joy. Gotta watch it.
When you talked about it the last time, I was like, okay, this sounds really cool, and I've seen a lot of good stuff said online. I did have access to Apple TV or Apple TV Plus, Apple Plus, whatever it is, and now I don't. So I may have to wait till the end of season 2 and then do a trial so I can watch that and the second season of Shrinking, because I enjoyed that on the first season. Have you watched Shrinking?
I watched parts of the first season and then I watched like this random episode. I think I watched the last episode of season 2, and it's really good. It's a really good, so many of the cast of Cougar Town are showing up.
Bill Lawrence show.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's like kind of gratuitously like, oh, look, it's so-and-so. And then, you know, you never watched Ted Lasso, or did you?
I still haven't watched Ted Lasso, no.
So, I mean, another Lawrence show that, you know, in part, like, you've got a lot of that out there, and there's more coming. You know, now either going to be more Ted Lasso, they're going to do more Scrubs, they're going to do this other show with Steve Carell. Like, yeah, he's a beast. But
it's
yeah.
Not a full Bill Lawrence show unless Krista Miller shows up at some point.
Who is that?
His wife.
Is that the chick from Cougar?
And she is not on Ted Lasso at all.
No.
No, that's sad. She's Ellie.
Ellie, yeah. She's in, she shows up in, she's a big part of Shrinking. She didn't show up in Ted Lasso.
No.
Okay.
She's Jason Segel's wife's or girlfriend. Deceased wife's best friend.
Yeah, best friend. Yeah.
And their neighbor. Yeah. No, she is a major main character of Shrinking. Love but her. you know, Krista Miller is phenomenal. I've loved her since the Drew Carey show. But her, Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, like, it was such a great first season.
Harrison Ford, but,
like,
wow.
Watch the whole season. It is really fucking good. But no, that all sounds great. I definitely need to figure out a way to watch that. To go from TV to a completely kind of different topic, Eric brought this up to us, and I actually partook in it a bit, so I can chat with you a little bit about this. Why don't you tell me, us, everybody, what Epic is?
So Epic the Musical is a musical retelling of the Odyssey, which the Odyssey, I first read parts of it back in middle school. I think just about every school makes you learn something about the Odyssey in some form. And I've always enjoyed Greek mythology and obviously musical theater. And after Hadestown, it was nice to have another show come about to bring those two things together. So this, it's a concept album of the soundtrack to the show, which has never been put on an actual stage anywhere. It was started by, it's been written and composed by Jorge Rivera Herranz. The show was started as his senior thesis for college at Notre Dame. And it's been greatly inspired by video games and anime. It's been a big social media hit, mostly over on TikTok, because that's how he did his casting. It was open casting call through TikTok. And,
really?
Yeah. And just what I sent you guys as kind of quote unquote homework when I brought this up as a topic was a list of animated videos to go with all of the songs, which kind of the fandom put together and did all these animatics. He did commissioned some of them to be done by certain artists. But it's a really cool show. It is a two-act structure, but the two acts are divided into nine what he calls sagas, which are collections of 3 to 5 songs. So like the first 5 songs are called the Troy Saga, which is kind of the end of the Trojan War and the beginning of their adventure home. Other interesting things is as a kid, he had seen Peter and the Wolf, and as such, he followed that kind of building block of certain characters are associated with certain instruments. Like Odysseus is assigned the guitar, so his songs feature guitar heavily. His wife Penelope is the viola, Athena is a piano. So even if they're not on stage, if you hear those instruments, you can tell they're
being referenced,
quote unquote, instrumental as to part of the song.
And you know what would have gotten Brian to watch this or listen to it? If one of those characters was a theremin.
I mean, you're not wrong. Like,
I'm in.
You're not wrong.
Nobody is a theremin, but in general, mortal characters are generally associated with the more orchestral instruments, and the divine characters, the gods, are more electronic instruments.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've gotten almost 10 out of 40 songs in today while I was working. I was listening, so I watched a little bit. I like the animatics. Gigi, I didn't click on your link. I went to YouTube and just looked it up, and somebody compiled the 40 videos together into a playlist in order. So mm-hmm. I'd watch a little bit and kind of like just listen. It very much screamed Hamilton to me in a sense.
Yeah, Lin-Manuel was a Yeah, it was a big inspiration. And at the time he was composing the show, kind of In the Heights into Hamilton fever was big. So it's
And Lin-Manuel Miranda has a very specific like cadence and feel to his song. So I can definitely feel the inspiration in that. I don't think I've ever read the Odyssey before or had to. I went to a Catholic school. We didn't necessarily deal with those heathen Greek mythology people, but I did enjoy some Greek mythology back in my day. I'm a faggot, of course. It's what we do. But it was a very interesting, it was cute. I really did enjoy the animatics. Gigi, I think, was the artist on like the first couple that I watched. And the funny part is that like the ones that I've been watching all kind of still have that same look and feel to them. So like it's interesting how some of the fandom has like kind of kept that thematic look to what I've seen so far. But it was interesting. I'm really glad that you gave us that homework, that I was the only one that did. But this was in less than 24 hours we were turning this around. So
yeah,
I'm glad that I did take a little bit of time to do that to get to see this. And it may be something that I struggle with to like remember to go back to. But I would be interested in like actually spending a little bit of time and watching the whole thing, and because it's very well done. And I know one of the things that I read was that it's challenging the concept of what Broadway is or what a musical can be, and that a good musical does not have to be on Broadway to be a good musical.
Right.
So I thought that was a really cool concept behind it, and thought it was a really cool way to make something that can be as challenging to tackle as the Odyssey, something that can be more digestible for a TikTok generation, a generation that doesn't have the same attention span. My attention span is horrible now because of scrolling and all of that. So I definitely think it was a cool thing to experience, and I'm interested to keep going with it.
Yeah, and I think the animatics help, because a lot of times, especially with musicals, when they put out a soundtrack, there's not really any visualizations with it. Like, you can get some like individual pictures of what the stage and characters might look like, but you can't necessarily get a full understanding and context to how they fit in with the story that's being told, unless you can watch it. So the animatics help a lot. And because it is a completely sung through show and there's no dialogue in between songs, that helps as well.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention, and hopefully Brian and BJ will give it a whirl at some point. Maybe check it out.
Promise I will. I very much am interested now that you've explained more about it. And even then, it was a day.
And he even had to do the whole Taylor Swift thing, because after the first two sagas were released, his contract with the production company he was using was so bad he wasn't getting any royalties from any sales. So he had to create his own production company and brought in the cast and re-recorded the first two sagas over.
So it's whatever the guy's name is, his version.
Yeah.
Epic.
Exactly.
This guy's version. Yes. I love it. Well, it has been a delight and a pleasure, at least getting our brains away from some of the craziness of the world and chatting about some fun things and some less fun things earlier on. But listeners, we appreciate you tuning in and spending some time with us. Let us know what is going on in your world, what pop culture you are enjoying. If there are things that you think we should be watching, let us know. I could always use some new things to watch, because I watch a lot of YouTube reruns because I don't have any other attention span to consume other things. So toss some ideas our way. Check us out at flameonshow.com. And until we meet again, my good gentle folk, peace out.